Okay, the boy said we're learning Daf Pei Hei, and we're on the fourth, fifth line from the top of the Omid, where the Gemara is quoting now from the Mishnah that we have to pay, if Chas Hashem, a person damages somebody else, he has to pay Chamisha Dvarim, meaning besides the Nezek, you have to go and pay Tzar, Ripa, Sheves, and Boishes. So the Mishnah already told us, how do you pay for Tzar? How do you measure Tzar? Oimdim kama odom rakiyotim zeh roi tzalita. So what was the lashon of the Mishnah specifically? Back on Pei Gimel Amud Beis, we say Oimdin. Oimdin means we try to assess. Kama odom kiyotz b'zeroyt zalita liyotz mitzdar bekach. How much would a person be willing to go and take to have to endure this pain? Obviously, not something easy to measure. Says Imar. Tzar b'mokam nezik heichashamina. If you have a case of both nezik and tzar, because we had in the Mishnah already. Tsar without nezik. You can have a burn on the person's fingernail, which is very painful, but there is no hezik. He doesn't go down in value as a result. He's
unless
not.
This is a hand model.
Yeah, I guess so. If there's a particular type of
that's
work that. Yeah, you never know, exactly. But otherwise, it's usually not a problem. Anyway, so tsar b'mokim nezik hei chashimin. How do we go and measure tsar b'mokim nezik? Omer avod ishmuel, oindum kam ba'odav roita lita liktoya le'yodoi. We go and find out from a person how much would he want to have his arm, chas v'sholem, amputated. You go and ask him, how much would you want? $100,000. Oh, now you know how much you have to go and pay. Tzar b'mokam nesik. Break the Gemara. L'ktoy l'yodei l'tzar l'chudayu. Akul chamisha dvarim ikka. We're trying to isolate and figure out how do you go and measure damages for tzar alone. So he's saying, oh, I have a case. How much would a person be willing to go and take to have his arm, chas v'sholem, amputated? That wouldn't tell you how much the tzar is. That would be a package deal. He would say $100,000, $1 million, $5 million. But how do you isolate the tzar? After all, to go and remove a person's hand, you're talking about all chamisha dvar. V'oid, b'shoftin yaskinan. Are we talking about shoytim? In other words, your normal average individual, no matter how poor he is, no matter how dire his straits are, he's not going to want to go and lose his arm even for $1 million, even for $5 million. I mean, if he can make America great again, maybe for $1 billion. But a regular average individual is not going to go and do that. So, how are you going to go and measure? You're going to do a dasa kol, you take statistics, a poll, a Gallup poll. How much would you take? How much would you take? A normal person wouldn't take anything. Rather, we're talking about a person who chas v'sholem already has an arm which is already dangling. Rashi says, "What means yod haktua? Muchuberes begidin tsemusin ve'ein ruuyah loy lamlocha. It's still hanging by a thread. Gidin tsemusin means shriveled gidin, shriveled sinews. So therefore, the arm is very, very, very fragile, very delicate, and with nothing chas v'sholem it'll come off. Ein ruuyah loy lamlocha." It's like a paralyzed arm and it has no utility whatsoever. So now the question is, how much would a person want to take to remove that type of arm, which is basically a useless arm? Zok Timor, but there too you cannot figure out what the measure is for pain, because Yerak Tua Nami Loi Tzar L'chudi Ika, or Tzaru Boishas Ika, Dixifalei Milza L'mishkol Mibsar L'mishdai L'klavim. The Gemara is saying is that it's not just a question of Tzar. If you ask a person who has Chas V'sholem this type of detached or semi-detached arm, how much would he want to go and take to have it removed, even if he would give you a price, that still would not be identifying pain on its own. It would be identifying pain together with a busha. It's a busha chas v'sholem to go and have an arm removed.
Nezik's taken out since it doesn't work. Nezik is taken out.
Yeah, nezik is not a problem because exactly. The nezik is out of the picture, but we still have the busha involved. So vayta, how do you isolate the tzar on its own? Ela oimdin kama odom roitz alita liktoy lo yodei hamuchtav lamalchus bein sam lesayif. Rather, we try to go and appraise and assess how much would a person want to go and take if he has a sholem because of a sentence. They're going to remove his arm. And the way they're going to remove his arm is by using sam, by using what we call today an anesthetic. And rather, instead of taking it off with anesthesia, we'll take it off with a saif, with chas v'sholem, with a sword, without giving any anesthesia. How much would a person want to take for that? pray to more Amri, Hochanabi Loy Shoku Mitzai Nafshe. Even in such a situation where he's going to definitely lose his arm, the executioner is there ready to go and take the arm off, he's not gonna wanna say, you know what? Since you're taking the arm off anyway, if you give me $100,000, you can take it off without an anesthetic. That also is not the normal person wouldn't do that. And rather the other way around. Rather, if Chas V'Shalom, a person was sentenced to lose his arm through the guillotine, through going and severing it with a knife, with a sword, and he wants to go and bribe the executioner and say to him, you know what, please don't do it with a sword, please do it with an anesthetic. More uses the term sam, like doing it with an acid. I don't know what an acid helps. It means something which is not painful, or it's much less pain than just removing it with a sword.
Morphine.
I'm sorry?
Morphine.
Morphine. I don't know if the Gemara had morphine in their days, but whatever it means, some sort of medical something or other, that it would be far less painful.
In American law, don't they make a distinction that people pay damages if somebody loses a hand, if somebody is a great musician, or somebody's a surgeon, then somebody's just stomazoid, nothing special, but then don't people have to pay much greater damages if such an accident happens?
There is something like that, what you're referring to, compensation. If a person, like you're right, if Chas V'Shalom, a person was a musician, and now his arm was severed and he can no longer play, then there would be a greater damages than if the guy is unemployed.
Special,
exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense.
That's part of nezik,
yeah. Here we're focusing on the tzar, the pain.
Yeah.
How do you assess the pain? So now the Gemara is saying the way to assess the pain is if Chas V'Shalom, a person's arm was going to be removed by the government because he did some sort of chet, and they were going to go and take it off with a sword, and he can go and pay them off to go and take it off with a sam. How much would a person pay for something like that? Oh, so now we're already talking seicheldik. This is already very logical. A person knows it's going to be very painful. He may be willing to pay 10,000, 50,000, 100,000, a million, whatever, that it should be a painless type of situation rather than Chas V'Shalom, a painful situation. Whatever that amount is, that's the measure of damages for the pain that we're talking about in our Mishnah. Faith Yomar, that sounds very logical, but it just doesn't work with the Lashon of the Mishnah. Because Hai Litay Mi Boyele. What's the Lashon of the Mishnah? Like the Gemara began to quote on the fourth line at the top. How much would a person like this want to take? What was the Lashon of Mishnah? Have to endure this type of pain. The Gemara said to go and take, to endure pain, that's b'shuftani. A normal person wouldn't do that. But he was talking about not to go and give him money to agree to endure pain, but rather he's paying money not to have to endure pain. So therefore, it's not a question of lito, it's a question of litay. So l'choira, it's the lashon of the Mishnah doesn't stim. Everything Gemara zokti Gemara Ella Omar Nishella the Omar Afuna Brenda Yeshua. Thank you. Litel zemi ze mashen nosen ze. What we're saying is litel zemi ze to go and take from the mazik. How much the nizik would have been willing to go and pay under the circumstances that we were talking about? That if a person was muchtav lamalchus to remove his arm through sayif, that he should be willing to go and pay with an anesthetic. So whatever that amount is, so he would bribe the guy to pay anesthetic, $50,000, $100,000, that's how much lito you take from the mazik to go and pay for that type of pay.
If something doesn't,
yeah, it's good.
It could have been five left.
Morris trying to make this as painless as possible. All right. Anyway, we continue on. Now we're talking about ripui. Now, ripui, of course, is very, very simple. If Chas V'Shalom, a person hits somebody else and he has to go to the hospital, a doctor, medical, whatever, the medical damage. But what is interesting is the Mishnah continues on, olaboit smochen. What happens if the person developed after that boils, swelling, bubbles, etc.? If it's as a result of the wound, chai, you have to go and pay. If it's not as a result of the wound, it's potter. That's a double poshet. I mean, because he hit him on the arm, this guy develops something on his leg, so one thing has nothing to do with the other. So the Gemara is going to discuss this momentarily. And the Mishnah continues on, choyse v'nistra, choyse v'nistra. What happens if it healed, but after that the wound opened up again, and then it healed again, and again it opened up. Each time, you have to wait until it's all finished, And once it's done and it doesn't open up, if a year later something else develops, then of course he's off the hook. So now the Gemara explains more per experience. Braisa, Zokti Mar, Tonerban. Olu by Tzmachem Machas Amaket. What happens if we have Tzmachem, these types of boils, the swelling, blisters that come up as a result of the Makkah? Or Nistra Amaka. Nistra Amaka means that it had already been nicely developing. It was developing a scab, and it was now healing. And unfortunately, Nistra, now the healing and the scab opens up again. It's again an open wound, and we're back to square one.
Nistra means open, right? Usually Nistra means...
You ever heard of a binyan? You know what a binyan is, to go and build something. Yeah. Well, it means to stira, to go and destroy the building, to demolish it. Here you have a nice scab which is developing like a nice binyan, and now Nistra, it was destroyed and it comes off, and the wound is open once again. So what do we do now? Chayv l'rpaisa, he continues to be on the hook until we're finished with this entire situation.
For the Rav.
The Rav is not here. How can I help you?
If we had the saccharin, you know, he doesn't hear. He had a case of sugar problem.
Right, and therefore...
It doesn't heal.
It doesn't heal?
Yeah.
Next time he shouldn't go and give this guy a hit, you know. You choose your victims. If he goes and hits him, he has to go and pay for the medical bills. Anyway, so we're in the Mishnah, we're in the Braisa, v'chayv lita lo yidamei shiftei shloi machlas amak. I'm sorry. If chayv lita lo yidamei shiftei, you also have to go and pay him for the disability, for the unemployment. That if for a week or two he was in the hospital, you got to go and pay not only his medical bills, but also what he lost out in salary. We'll talk about more in the Amud Beis, which salary do we assess him. We'll see that Mishnah Mishpeitim. Continues on the Braisa, shloi machlas amak. If it was Sheves, it was unrelated to the makah. Then he doesn't have to pay for the medical bills, and he's also not mechuyev to go and pay for the unemployment. That's a davar pashut. We'll have to see in the Gemara what does that mean. Shloi machlas amakah. Of course, if somebody else has other medical issues, then why should I have to pay for that? We'll see shortly. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, af machlas amakah chayv l'rapoisoi, even af machlas amakah he has to go and get a refuah. V'ein chayv l'rapoisoi shivta, but he doesn't have to pay for the shevis for the unemployment. Why? I mean, if the person is never in the hospital because of these tzmochim, because of these swelling blisters, what have you, and it's machlas amaka, so says Rabbi Yehuda, you have to give the refuah, you have to pay the medical bills, but you don't have to pay for the disability or the unemployment. Why not? Okay, we'll see Mishnah in a moment. The Chachamim Omrim shifted for Asai. The two go together because it's a hekesh in the pasuk. The pasuk says, "Rak shifto yitin v'rapo yirape." So therefore, go together. Kol shechay b'sheves chay b'ripoy. Shechay b'sheves in chay b'ripoy. And since you, Rabbi Yehuda, just said now there is no din of sheves, there's no din of ripoy either. So you have a three-way machlokes. The Tanakhama says about these tzmachim, these blisters, these boils, this swelling, you got to pay both for refuah and for shevis. The Yehuda says you only pay for refuah and not for shevis. The Chum says you don't have to pay for either. But my kamifagi, what's the machloikis? Omer Rav Ashkosidol Rabbanu Bebeit Rav the Yasvik Amri. Rav said I went to the Besmedish of Rav, and I saw the Oilum was talking about this price, and they said the machloikis is Ochab Maka Nitana Li Agad Kamifagi. We're talking about that the person put a bandage over the wound, meaning, explains Rashi, the person could have lived without the bandage. However, apparently it was cold during the winter days, and the cold was getting to the wound, and it was painful as a result of that cold. So what did he do? He put a nice bandage on top. But he bandaged it quite well, so well that not only was it warm enough to expel the coldness of the winter days, but it was warm enough to go and develop heat bubbles, heat blisters, heat swelling, which of course was not at all comfortable. Okay, so this is not a direct effect of the makkah. This is more a direct effect of his inappropriate medical bandage that he put on top of this makkah. I don't mean inappropriate, I mean after all it was cold. He's entitled to go and put this agad on. The only question is, if this agad, this bandage, causes other unrelated problems, does the mazik have to pay for these, yes or no? Three-way machlokes. Sorry?
Did the balabot, the injured person puts the bandage on?
The injured person, because the wound was cold during the winter, he put a bandage on. He went to a doctor to put the bandage on. And then a few days later, we open up the bandage and we see blisters developing and boils developing. And now he has to go back to the doctor to go and take care of these blisters and the boils and the bubbles and the swelling and all the rest. So now the question is that directly related or indirectly related? That's the three-way machloikas, Rabban and Sabri, maka nitanali agad, that a person has the right to go and put on such a bandage, and if it causes now secondary medical problems, the mazik has to go and pay. Really, of course, the lashon gemara nitanali agad doesn't mean that you can't put a bandage on. You're entitled to put a bandage on, but you're on your own. It's your risk if you put on such a bandage. But why does Rabbi Yehuda go and differentiate between refuah that he has to pay, and for Sheva City, he doesn't have to pay? The word tana means that it's repeated twice. Where is it repeated twice? It says, Rak shifta yitain. Verapo, yerape, tu lishoinis, then you have to go and pay. Sheva Sili tana beikra, it only says, Rak shifta, it doesn't say, Rak shifta, shiftai, but only one time the word, shiftai. Therefore, you are potter on the Shevis. So this is what the Gemara doesn't even explain yet, the third daya in the Brice. The Gemara will get to that in a few lights.
Can you just repeat again, because the three days of the Brice are a little bit indistinct. We have the Tanakama, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Rabbanan.
Tanakama holds that you have to pay for both.
Right.
Rabbi Yehuda holds you only pay for Ripui and not for Shevis. And the Rabbanan Basroi, the second Rabbanan, hold zero. Since you don't have to pay for Shevis, you don't have to pay for Ripui, you don't have to pay for anything. It's good. Alice says the Gemara said now, says now Rabbah, when I heard this pshat being bandied around in Bis Medish, I told them, no, imaka loy nitl agad, if you were to hold that a mazik does not have to pay for secondary damages as a result of putting on such a bandage, then even Rabbi Yehuda would hold, and even the Tanakhama would hold, you don't have to pay for refuah. If you hold the makal in Italy, agad, you're entitled to put on whatever bandages you want. However, the mazik doesn't have to pay for your putting on the bandage and creating now this new medical situation of boils, bubbles, sweltering, blisters, all the rest. If you hold that loy nitli agad, then everybody would agree you don't have to pay for refuah at all. So what's the machlokes? Everybody agrees, yes, a person who has a wound is entitled to go and put on a bandage, and if that bandage now develops into blisters, swelling, boils, etc., the mazik has to go and pay. And he'd have to pay l'chor not only ripoy, but even shevis. So what's the machlokes? The shal is the gabev l'nitnel agad yeseira. What says agad yeseira? Rashi is quiet, but there's a machloik is now vazokte.
He didn't put on the right bandage.
A little bit. There's a machloik is now between the Meiri and the Shita Mikubetzes. Machloik is Rishayim. According to the Meiri, it's talking about that he put it on too tightly. He put it on the agad yiseira. It means in the quality of the bandage. He didn't just put it on shallow. He put it on. He really put it on hard, and that hard putting on the bandage that created the swelling and sweltering and the blisters and all the rest. Mashenka, the Shitta says, no, it's talking about that he put it over a larger area. He only needed to do it 2x2, and he did it 4x4 or 6x6. Instead of just putting on that wound on the arm, he went from the shoulders down to the pinky. And that caused this additional swelling and blisters and boils and all the rest. That's the Agad Yeseira. Now the question is, do you have to pay yes or no? Says he might have beautiful, but keep the nitna the agad yaseira, reaping ton of a crumb, a chayiv. So therefore, the Rabbi Yehuda is the one that makes the compromise in between. And Rabbi Yehuda says that even though mitzad ikra din, you shouldn't have to go and pay for this extra agad yaseira. However, since the Torah says repoy twice, rapa yirape, yimachuyiv, if you get boils, swelling, etc., based on such an agad yaseira. But Shevis, which only says once, loy mechayiv, you don't have to pay for something like that. Rabbanan Sabri, the Rabbanan again are the first Rabbanan, kim the ton of a kra, peripoy, a Shevis nami mechayiv, to iskish liripoy. Say the Rabbanon, I agree with you, only by Ripoy it says it twice. However, since the same Pasuk says, Rak Shifto Yite, V'Rapoy Yerapay, Sheves and Ripoy are together in the same Pasuk, so just like you have to go pay for the Ripoy, you gotta pay for the Sheves. V'Biyudu Savar, Sheves Loi Mechayv Demate, Rachmono, Rak. Says the Pasuk, Rak Shifto Yite, V'Rapoy Yerapay. This Rak acts as a limitation on the Hekish. Under normal circumstance, I'd say you have a Hekish, Ripoy to Sheves, the result of the Rak tells you, stop here. You don't have the Hekish to go mi mechayiv you in this situation. V'rabbanan, Rak l'shaloi machmas ha-maka hu di'asa. What the Rak is coming to tell you, when it was not because of the maka at all. And we already spoke about this in the Braisa. What does that mean? Of course, if it's totally unrelated, why would anybody think that you have to go and pay for refuah or for Shabbos or for anything? The Gemara is going to address in another few lines what means shaloi makas hamaka. The Gemara is going to say it's talking about a case where the patient doesn't listen to the doctor and he doesn't follow doctor's orders. Gemara gives an example. For instance, the doctor told him don't eat any sweets because that's not good for him. Person may be a diabetic or whatever. And guess what happens? He doesn't listen, and he does eat those sweets. And as a result, that retards the development of the scab or the healing of the wound. Do you have to pay for that? Shokti mara rak. Rakab zayezich anisht. Even though, of course, the original maka was because of the mazik, but since he is doing things which are counterproductive by defying the doctor's orders, then avada the mazik is not responsible for that. That's what the rak comes to tell you. Anyway, so far we have the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said that even though this is an agad yesera, however we have Rapa Yerapa to go and tell us you have to go and pay for the ripoy anyway. But by shifto it says rak shifto yitzen, so you don't have to pay for the shevas. Mashenki, the Tanakama says, because it says Rapa Yerapa, you have to pay for the ripoy, and because you have a hekish, the hekish goes and tells you the shevas you also have to pay by this agad yesera. Aye, what does he do with it? Rak. He's talking about a rak is a person who doesn't listen to doctor's orders. What about the Rabbanan Basroi? The Rabbanan Basroi say that you're potter from both. Rabbanan Basroi di amik. Kosh chai b'shevis chai b'ripoy. Kosh inim chai b'shevis ene chai b'ripoy. Ripoy detana beikra lomali. What do they do with the fact that it says in the pasuk ripoy twice? Doesn't that sound like you have to go the extra mile when it comes to paying medical bills? Says you want to buy like Rabbi Shmuel, the Tanu Rabbi Shmuel, the Sanya, the Tanu Rabbi Shmuel. Oimer, for Rabbi Yerabim, Megashin to Rishus Aroi Feile. Rabbis, very very famous drasha. Rashi brings in Chumash. The Rabbi Yerabim comes to tell you that doctors have the right to go and heal people. So you're going to say, why shouldn't they have the right? After all, he's doing a tremendous chesed. It's a wonderful thing that you have doctors that are helping out people. Says Rashi, I would think that this goes and is defying HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why did the person get sick in the first place? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to get sick. So why should I have the right to go and help him out? I'm going against HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon. Says the Torah, for Rapi Rapi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the Rishus to Raifa. The Rapi is not considered to be, Chas HaShalom, going against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you look in the Rashi, about five lines higher than our Gemara, Nitner Rishus L'Raifa L'Rapi, Kadosh Baruch Hu gives him a patch, gives him a clap, and you're coming to go and argue and to work against the Kadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon. That's why you have to have the pasuk to tell you, yeah, a doctor's allowed to go and do refuah. Turn about. Minayin shim olu boitzmochim makas machmas amaka v'nistru hamakas shechayv l'rapoy l'rapoysoy v'chayv litan loy shivtoy. How do I know if you have tzmochim machas amaka, if you have these boils, this swelling that develops because of the maka, or the case of nistra maka? The vav over here is really not and, but or. Nistra maka means that if a person had a scab and the wound was healing, then unfortunately it got opened up again, and boom, you have to go and heal it more and more medicine and more medicine. How do you know that you're chayiv? And chayiv l'itnei shifta, besides the refuah, you also have to pay for the shevez. Tamaloimer rak shifta yitiv rapa yirapa. The double rapi rapi, and we have the hekish of Shabbos, etc. Yochafilish for makas amaka. I would think even in the case where it was not as a result of the original maka, Talmud loy merak. No, rak tells you don't have to go and pay. Even machmas emaka, you also potter. Shenemarak, like the Rabbi Yehuda that we had before. It's ikar the amri. Now, when Rabbi Yehuda said af machmas emaka potter, we still don't know what about the din of both sheves and refuah. In other words, we only know machmas emaka potter. What is he potter on? Is he potter only on sheves? Shenemarak. Rak shiftayite. He's potter on Shevis. One second, please bear with me. Is it only on Shevis that he's potter, or is he potter across the board, not only the Shevis but also potter on the Ripoy? So now there are two versions in the Gemara. Version number one is ikadiyami af machas amaka potter legamri kerbanan basroi. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda holds like the second rabbanan. That the second rabbanan say you're totally potter. You potter both for the Shevis and for the Ripoy. Ikari Amri, this another version like Barry was saying a minute ago. Af machas amaka, potor mi sheves, v'chayiv v'ripoy. That was like Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Keman kevua, because Rabbi Yehuda was the son of Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore he agrees with his father. That was the middle shita, that we make a compromise between the refuah and the sheves. Refuah yechai, because it says a double lashin. Rapo ye rape. I have a hekish to Shevis, but I have a rak to go and tell you, you don't pay Shevis under these circumstances. Okay. Omamar, I would think even Shaloy Machas Amaka, you'd also be chayiv. Tamaloy Marak, Freytimor. Rak, Shaloy Machas Amaka, boy, kra. After all, if the person has other medical issues, why should a mazik be machuyiv to go and pay? What are we referring to? Kidisanya, like it says in the Brisa. Someone who didn't listen to doctor's orders. The Ochel Dvash, and he ate sweet things like honey, like Homini Masika, or anything else which has a lot of sugar. Everybody knows that eating sweets is not good for a makah. Presumably it depends on the makah. But anyway, and therefore, the helamakosei gargusni, what happens is as a result of eating the sweet, gangrene. Now the maka has got gargusni. Yeah. The Gemara doesn't tell us yet what it sounds like, gangrene. It sounds like, but that's not what the Gemara means. The Gemara's teretz. No, it's okay, no problem. It was a good guess, a good half a minute, but the Gemara maskana is going to have a different shot. So what happens, the makosei became gargusni. I would think you'd have to go and pay, because ultimately, originally, it's all because of that maka. If it wouldn't have been the maka of the mazik, the person could go and eat sweets a whole day and a whole night. It's because of that maka. So maybe it should be mechuyev after all. Tamalaymi, that's why the pasuk says, Rak, no. If you didn't listen to the doctor's orders, then the mazik is off the hook. But frankly, more my gargusni, the question that we had before, vosid de gargusni. Everything more my baya, nasa krichta. Oh, it's the famous nasa krichta symptom and dimension. The obvious question is, what's in Nasa Krichta? So Rashi helps us out over here. Nasa Krichta, so Rashi is Bosor Mace.
It's a gangrene.
Gangrene is Bosor Mace? Mm-hmm. It means dead flesh. Gangrene is dead flesh?
It's an infection.
It's an infection. Yeah, but can you reverse the gangrene? Can you reverse the gangrene?
Amputation usually.
The guy is a diabetic, for example. It becomes gangrenous.
No, can you reverse gangrene?
So that's the case of the eating of the mina masika nadvash. Okay, anyway, Rabbi Say, after the shiur is over, Dr. Diamond is willing to give us a voluntary medical shiur in all of the dimensions of medicine. Anyway, Yishakoyach. Anyway, Freyti Mora Maya Sute, what happens if Taka the person gets Bosser Hameis, gangrene, or dead flesh? I would have thought you just have to amputate him. But says Imor, there is an Aitza even for dead flesh. What is that? Ahola. Ahola, they normally touch is aloe, A-L-O-E. You find a lot of soaps, they put in aloe. The Kira is wax. The Kalba, and the Wuzai is a Kalba, this is not a Kalba with a Chof. That would be a dog. His Kalba is a Kif, says Rashi, Shebechovios Shel Yayin. Presumably that's the sediment at the bottom of the barrel. Rashi starts off with resina, which sounds like the English word resin, which you also have in a lot of ingredients and a lot of products. I'm not sure it's exactly the same thing, but anyway, if you take one of these and presumably if you smear it on the maka,
it's like a sealant.
Yeah, I think so.
Good. Does that help before or after? Our Gemara is suggesting this is helping after. In other words, it's already dead flesh, you put this stuff on and then it gets rejuvenated. I was always in the impression that once it's dead, it's dead. But anyway,
let's talk about the doctor. After you amputate it, the next
No, they didn't talk about that.
If it's dead flesh, you have to amputate it.
Certainly, it comes back. Anyway, Nachum Oded met the doctorim, and they will tell you more about it. Now, and so bottom line is, Rabbeisai, we have answered the quandary that we had, and that is, how could the Brice even have a Havaman if you have a refuah bill, if you have to pay doctor's bills? Shalom Machas Amaka, I need a Pasig Rak. Of course, you don't have to pay for doctor's bills if it's related to unrelated medical expenses. So if you want, it's related, but unrelated. Meaning, if this person wouldn't have had the mak in the first place, this would not have happened. However, had he listened to doctor's orders, this would not have happened. So we're somewhere in this twilight zone. Who should be chayiv? Like the pasig rak, the mazik is off the hook. What happens if the mazik himself is a doctor and he says, I'm not going to go and pay you $5,000 to go to a fancy schmancy doctor. Come to me, I'll do a better job and it'll be for free. Come to me and I'll do it. Can the mazik say that? Amalei, the Nizik has a right to go and say, Demisa like Ari Arva. You look like to me like a lion in ambush against me. In other words, you've already done, you already did a bad job.
You're
going to pour salt in the wound if you're going to be the one that's going to try to go and save me. Shkoyach, I don't need your safety. Get out of here. Halavai, you wouldn't have started up in the first place.
I wonder what happens if he agrees to see that doctor,
uh-huh,
and then what the eitzah that he gives him hurts him even more. There's a doctor responsible for even more.
Well, that would be a new hezek. Yeah. That wouldn't be the old hezek, there'd be a new hezek. V'yamalei maisina asya demogin b'mogin. What happens if the mazik says, I don't want you to go to a fancy schmancy Mount Sinai hospital. I'm going to go here to a medical clinic, and the medical clinic they give you for free, and therefore I'll give you a free doctor. I shouldn't have to go and pay for these medical bills. On Malay, the Nizik has a right to say, Asid the Mogin Mamogin, Mogin Shava. This is a famous expression. A doctor that doesn't charge is Vet no Ashmek Tabik. He's not worth anything. In other words, if he's not going to charge for his services, he's in fact worthless. And that's why he's doing it volunteer, because if he could charge, he would charge. The fact that he's not charging is because his services are worthless. The Omar Maisim Lecha Asir Rechika. What happens if the Mazik says, I don't want to bring you a local doctor. I'm going to bring you a doctor from Florida who is a groisa bookie, a groisa mumcha, a groisa scientist, and he's going to go and do the job. I need a local doctor because if I have further complications, I should be able to go back to the doctor a second, a third, and a fourth time. If he's going to be a Floridian doctor, he's going to come in the first time, he's going to leave, then either he will have a blind eye to the situation, or that my eye will be blinded, meaning that it's very good to have him the first time, but I have to have him for the follow-up checkups, and I can't just have him one time. No good. What happens if the Nizik says to the Mazik, you know, I happen to know a lot about medicine. I read all the medical books. It's true I don't have a license, but ich bin auch an aufgeklärter. I'm very sophisticated in medicine. Normally, if I would go to Dr. Smith, he would charge you $5,000. You give me the $5,000, and I'll take care of it myself. On Malay, so he said, no, with all of your grace and medical knowledge, you're going to go and take the wrong drug, the wrong medication, and then you're going to come back to me a second time and a third time. You're going to say, haha, it didn't go away. You got to go and pay me for all the damage and for all the medical bills.
But if he takes the money on that basis, isn't he exempting it from any further?
That's the next question. The Amalek Koitzli Mikis, what happens if he tells him, you know what, I will take a set down amount, $5,000, you never have to pay a penny more, even if afterwards there are complications. That's it, boys, a full release and discharge, anything beyond $5,000. I'm afraid that I'm going to lose my reputation in the community. People are going to see you're going to go and take the $5,000. You're going to use it improperly or inappropriately. And you may not even use it at all. Maybe you're going to go and use it to go and buy mashke, and you're going to go and drink all day. And therefore, for the rest of your life, you're going to go around with a broken arm, a broken leg, a broken nose, broken toes. And people say, you know why? It's because that Uda Mamazik, that was Mazikim. So I will have a bad reputation in the whole community. People go and call me that I'm the Shara Mazik, that I'm the one that goes around damaging other people without them realizing that I already paid thousands of dollars, but this guy doesn't use the money, but rather he just plays, he gambled in Las Vegas or whatever. Zaktima, therefore, the Mazik only has to pay actual medical bills. He doesn't have to go and give him a grant of $5,000 for medical research. all of them are payable not only on their own, but also where there was a hezek. In other words, we're going to have on the Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to tell us how you could have tsar on its own, that we had in the Mishnah, on the fingernail. But how can you have boishes on its own? How can you have shevis on its own? How can you have ripui on its own? We're going to see cases on the Amud Beis. What the Gemara is telling us at the moment is, not when you have each one only individually, but you have to go and pay them all as a full package of up to all five dvar. The kulin, all five in the Mishnah, Mishtal, Mamukam, Nezik, besides the Nezik, you have to pay the tzar and the reap and the shevis and the boishes. You know, Emily, maybe this only. I might have thought there's only one measure of damages. Once I'm paying this guy for Nebuch the terrible mak that I inflicted upon him, for instance. Exactly. So now that's already a big dollar amount. Maybe that already is yoitz everything. You don't have to pay for the tzar and the reap and shevis. Kamash. Well, then you have to go and pay everything but mokem nesik. How do I know? In the pasuk, kesset tachas pota. Even though you paid for the whole nezik, nevertheless you have to pay for the tzar as well. For who are din to the others, as we will see. Right, Gemara, you use the pesach tachas pasta for that purpose. I mean, boy, I need another drasha. Let rabbis show you can make the bonus kirat sign. Earlier on in our Masechta, we learned that Adamudli Oilam Ben Ar Ben Yasha, and a person is always a Mi'id. If that's the case, how did I know that? From this, Petzatachas Fatsa, Shoy Gimez Voidi Grasses. Oi Bazoi, how do I know now the din to be Moisif the Tsar, but Mokka in Nezik? Maybe once you're paying Nezik, you don't have to pay Tsar. So you went, Kenechdiv Kara, Petzat, Bipetza. My Petzatach, Mitchell, Friday morning you'll be back, Mitchell. Yes, Rav David. We look forward. Right, okay. I'm hoping to be a Friday as well, Rabbi Say, as I say to us. Vedi mom, gay nichtum kra, petza bib petza, my petza tachas potza, shmami notarti. The extra word tachas comes to tell you both drushes. Not only the drusha of shoyi gemez and boinus karatzai, but also tsar b'mokai nesim. Good. Papa Shmei, the Rava Omar Omakra, Verapa Yerape, Litin Rafua Bemokim Nezik. The extra word Verapa, just like had the Petzatachas Potsa to go and tell you, Tsar Bemokim Nezik, Rapi Rapi says that even though you pay the Kamahoyu Yafa Kamahi Yafa, you have to go and add Rafua as well. That's the double loss in Rapa Yerape. Pray tomorrow, whoa, 1 second. I need Rapi Yerape like we had in the Omar Aleph. I'm a boy, look at the ton of the Vader Bishmol. Ton of Bishmol, Verapi Rapi Mikan, Shinet Rishus Roife Le Rapois. So how do you know this double? You're telling me the double lashon tells you refuah b'makom nezik. Maybe takanat. See what I'm saying? Nichtiv kara v'roife yirape. Why does it say v'rapa yirape? V'roife yirape would be exactly like the Bein Rabbi Shmuel, that the roife has the reshus l'rapois. Why does it say v'rapa yirape? Shmuel, no, it's refuah b'makom nezik. Then in addition to nezik, you also have to pay the medical bills. V'etimor v'kati boyle kinamoran. Don't I need it for the omid aleph? What was the Omer Aleph? What the Omer Aleph said? What happens if a person put on a bandage on his wound? And it was either, like the Bnei Yeshiva learned, Stam and Agad on the wound, or like Rabbah learned, it was an Agad Yisera. So you remember we had Rabbi Yehuda, that was the middle man, the Yama, that Rabbi Yehuda said, that I learned from Rabbi Yerabe, that you have to go and pay the refuah on the blisters or swelling or whatever that might develop as a result of that Agad. And from Rapi Rapi, then we are in Machloikis, where we have the Hekesh, Meterak, like we had in the Amud Aleph. But anyway, but I need the Rapi Rapi for that purpose, to go and tell you the Gabbah, the Agad, Agad Yeseira, that you have to go and pay for those bills as well. And for the Gemara, the Mitzvah Beik, Kroah, Beripoy, that's why the Pasuk repeated the word Rafua twice. And for the Gemara, Imkin, Leib, and Kroah, Oy Rapi Rapi, Oy Yirapi Yirapi, My Virapi Yirapi, Shemamin, Elitin, Fulim, and Mokim, Nezik. Anyway, so therefore, from this Rapi Rapi, you're learning now three separate drushes. If we would say in the Pasuk, V'roife Yerape, I would only know the din of Mikan Shinit L'Rishus L'Roife L'Rapois. But it doesn't say Roife Yerape. It's Rapa Yerape. But if we would say now, Rapoi Rapoi, then I would learn one of the additional two drushes. What is one of the two? L'Mashal Litin Rafua B'Makim Nezek. Then in addition to the Nezek, you have to go and pay Rafua bills as well. But since it doesn't say Rapoi Rapoi or Yirapi Yirapi, it says Rapa Yirapi, in addition to that, I learn the Gabi the Agad or Agad Yeseira from the Amud Aleph. Good. Anyway, Shema min alita nufu b'makim nezik. Sam the Gemara is medayik. Mechlal the mishkachas lehu shaloi b'makim nezik. Shaloi b'makim nezik heichem mishkachas lehu. If the Gemara went to pains to find drushes to tell you that you have to give an additional payment for tzar and an additional payment for refuah, as well as for the boishes and the shavas, in addition to the nezik, it's mashma that you could have these without the nezik, and that there could be times that you're paying for tzar without nezik and for ripoy without nezik. How would you have that? And now the Gemara goes through each case. Tzar kiniktoni. Tzar we already had in the Mishnah. Tzar kivoi bishpud amemasme vafilat ziponim makom sheino isach hamura. If a person got chas v'shalom a heat burn, someone inflicted a heat burn on somebody else's nail, fingernail, or he took a real live steel nail and he started banging it into the other guy's fingernail, that's very, very painful. But it doesn't prevent him from doing any work. You go to the slave market, you tell him about the painful nail, and the people shrug their shoulders and say, I feel bad for the guy, but doesn't change his value whatsoever for doing work and schlepping and acting like a slave. So therefore you can have tzar shaloi b'makom nezek. Ripoy, what's the case of ripoy? Ripoy by definition means that there was some sort of wound. Why are you helping him out medically if there was no wound? Says he might have a kovle midi, the solik. We're talking about that this person already got a wound from somebody else, or he just got a wound because he brushed against something or other, he fell on the ground, he had a wound. The solik, and this wound, Baruch Hashem, was healing. And guess what happened? This mazik now came. He went and took such a heavy-duty, either acid or medicine, some very potent type of liquid. And guess what he did? And what did he do? He went and poured it on top of that person's wound, the achvilips, the bisrei. And now his whole complexion has now turned white. He's turned white as a goat, as a ghost. So he didn't go and cause any maka per se, because the person had a pre-existing maka. What he has done is, however, he requires him now to have refuah, even though he didn't make the original hezek. One could argue that he added to the hezek, he made an additional hezek. The Gemara doesn't assume that. The Gemara assumes that in terms of hezek, it's all the same. And perhaps this is more cosmetic in nature. But the Maisi, he is turned white as a ghost, and he has to go now to the doctor. The tzarech lo oisrei samalin kute gavno de bisrei. He goes now to the doctor to go and restore the normal pink complexion of flesh that a person would normally have under normal circumstances. So that's a ripoy shaloi b'makoyim nesik. How do you have sheves? Sheves is very simple. The hadke bin druna ubatlei. A person was, Baruch Hashem, fine and good and vile. Somebody else went and locked him up in a room, or in a cage, or in a prison, so that he couldn't get out to go and do his normal job. And therefore the employer said to the employee, I love you, you're great, but if you're not going to work, I can't give you your salary. So he lost a week or 2 weeks salary, whatever it was. Then you have to go and pay Shabbos, even though there was no nezik. Boishes, you can have the person shames him having nothing to do with hezek. Chas v'shalom, he went and spit in his face. That, of course, caused a tremendous humiliation and embarrassment, but it had nothing to do with the hezek. So therefore, you can have boishes on its own. So now the Gemara illustrated and dramatized how you can have each one on its own. Shaloi b'makom nezek, but that's what we had the psukim before, that if it was b'makom nezek, you would have to go and pay multiple measures of damages. He had this on the Yomad Aleph. We look upon him as being as if he was the watchman over Kishuam. Kishuam means like a cucumber patch, or Kishuam, they say, is gourds. In other words, he should go and be a watchman in the field. Tana Rabbanan. Shevis roin oisik ilu shayme kishuam. Timtoima loksa midasadin. What happens if you're going to go and tell me it's really not fair, it's not equitable? This fellow until now was the chairman of the board of some sort of Google, and he was earning $20 million a year based on salary and other fringe benefits and stock options and all the rest. And now you're going to tell me he lost a week of work, we should go and pay him like a cucumber watchman in the field. Is that right? Loksa midasadin? So Gemara, no. So what's the midas hadin? The Gemara is explaining. Tchimit b'chai gavra lav agra d'shem kishum u'shokel el doli davla v'shokel agra inami ozlo b'shliach v'shokel agra. So the Gemara is assuming we're talking about a person who is a menial laborer and not a person who has a profession. In fact, Tosis says it quite explicitly, that if the person was a professional, then we'd have to go and measure it differently. We couldn't automatically go and say, well, if now that he's lost his hands or his legs or his eyes or whatever, it doesn't affect every single type of profession. It depends on the profession. So therefore, Tosis says, we're talking about a regular laborer. We're not talking about someone who is a professional, a specialty. Anyway, beginning back to Gemara. So Gemara says now, what's the Luxem Yisuddin? This is in the Havamina. What's the Havamina? The Chi Mitbach, when this person, Miyat Hashem, will be healthy again, or the way Tosis learns, when this person was healthy originally, Hai Gavar Lav, Agra Shem Gishim Ushakel, he didn't have the minimum wage of $5.25 or $7.25 an hour, whatever the crazy minimum wage is today, for being a Shem Gishim, for being a watchman of a patch of cucumbers. El Dolly Davil of Ishakal Agra. He was a person that was able to be a water drawer, and that apparently was much more heavy duty, and therefore you could earn $10 an hour, $12 an hour. Or he was a professional messenger. He would go on his bicycle, take one of these city bikes, and run through traffic and make all the drivers crazy and run over half of the pedestrians, and he's ignoring all the lights. So this type of shliach, because he goes so quickly from place to place to place, he can fetch $20 an hour. So why are you only paying him like the minimum wage of the Shomer Kishua? Says the Braisa, Midas Adin Loy Loxa. No, you're 100% wrong. It is Midas Adin, it is equitable. The fact that this person is only able now to be a Shomer Kishuim because he's lost the power in his arms or in his legs, as we'll see the next Shikla from Rava. So he's gotten paid already for that damage, and therefore now he has been relegated for the rest of his life to being a Shomer Kishuim. In other words, until now he was able to taka be a doyle davla. He was able to go and get $12 an hour for drawing water. As a result of the fact that this person amputated his arm, he can no longer draw water. He doesn't have the strength, he doesn't have the stamina, he can't do it. But what he can be is a shemi kishur. So now if you go to the slave market and say, how much is he worth until now? Well, until now he was a water drawer. He fetched $12 an hour. If we do six times multiple per hour per this, the EBITDA would turn out to be, over a year, $50,000. However, now he can only earn $7.50 an hour because he can only be a Shomer Kishuim. Oh, so he's no longer worth $50,000, he's only worth $20,000. Therefore, I have to go and pay him $30,000. Once I've paid him $30,000, I've bought the right to keep him now at the level of a Shomer Kishuim. Not that you're buying the right, but you understand the concept over here. I already paid the difference between his potential salary and earning power from being a doyle davla to the case of being a shemi kishum. Said I took care of that already. Now that he's been relegated to shemi kishum, now I pay the shavas on losing a week or 2 weeks of salary as being a shemi kishum. Amarava, kata as yodoy, noisland me yodoy. If a person has to amputate the other guy's hand, he has to go and pay for the hand or for the arm. Meaning that until now he could use his hand or his arm, he no longer can use it. So what can he be successfully? He can go and walk around the field the whole day to make sure that there are no ganovim that are going to steal any of the cucumbers. What happens if Chas Hashem, you didn't go and remove the hand, but rather you went and broke the guy's leg? As a result, you have to go and pay him for the regular. He's no longer able to walk. He's no longer able to be in a Shomer Kishuim. Because Shomer Kishuim, says Rashi, exactly, has to walk around from time to time to see Ganavim coming from the north, from the west, from the south, from the east. Now he can no longer walk. And therefore, what he can only be is the Shomer Pesach, like a doorman. He could be there at the entranceway, but he can't be all over. Presumably, such a doorman earns even less money. But the Midas Adin is because you're going to pay him now more money. Because now he's not going to be from 50,000 down to 20,000, our example. He's going to go down to 10,000 because he can no longer walk. See, Mas anyone happens if he blinded him, he has to go and pay him for the Dmei Ayin. We're going to have to pay him as if he was a person who was Tochein who was a grinder in the mill. Now, if he himself had to go and put the wheat inside the mill, that would be quite difficult, because after all, he doesn't see. However, apparently, this was like an assembly line type of situation, that somebody else already put the chitim into the mill. He didn't have to do that. All he had to do is use his brawn, his brute power, to go and turn the mill. Just like you had in the good old days, and presumably in many places still today, you have the oxen or the horses that go and pull the mill. Some places you have as a result of a waterfall, etc. So therefore, this person was using slave power, and he would go and turn the mill itself to go and cause the grinding of the chitim, soidim, whatever it was. Good. So what do we see from this? That you don't need eyesight for that, you just need the strong power in your arms and your legs to be able to do that. What happens if Chas Shalom recovers and becomes a Chayresh? Then you have to pay for him totally, because we're assuming now he has absolutely no utility whatsoever. Presumably the Gemara is assuming that the person is totally illiterate. Since he's illiterate, you cannot go and write out what you want him to do, because he cannot read. So how can you communicate with him? You cannot communicate with him. You can scream as long as you want and as loud as you want. He just doesn't hear you. So he's lost any value whatsoever. And therefore, Noisle Mekula, you have to pay the full amount. And now there wouldn't be any Shevis for this person, because there is no unemployment anymore. He's permanently unemployable. And there, that will be part of the Nezik that you're going to pay him. He was worth until now $50,000. Now he's worth zero. You pay the full $50,000, and you don't have to pay the Shevis. Boy Rava, Kiteas Yode, Kotas Yode, Vlayamdu, Shibis Ragav Layamdu, Simis Ain of Layamdu, Vibsoif Hirshoi, Mahu. We're talking about a Mazik who was a really nice guy. First thing was Kotas Yode, he amputated his arm. Vlayamdu, Bezin should have now started making an appraisal. Nishan Kevet, Kamahoy Yofa, Kamahu Yofa. The Bezin didn't do it. Why? Either because the Bezin was busy, they had a busy docket, or maybe the person didn't even get to Bezin yet. In other words, it happened on a Tuesday morning. Bezin's going to open on Thursday. From Tuesday to Thursday, he didn't have a chance to get to Bezin. Guess what? Shibas Raglai. And now the same perpetrator went and broke his leg as well. This happened already on Tuesday night or Wednesday morning. Again, the Bezin didn't have a chance to go and start doing any umdanat, any type of appraisal. And then Simis Einoi, and then he went and blinded him as well. A nice guy, this Masik. Again, Vliyamdu. So if Chirshay now, finally at the end, the Makim Patish, he made him deaf. Mouth. You know what you should do? Don't bother going through the various stages and saying, okay, when he lost his arm, he lost 5,000. When he lost his leg, he lost another 10,000. When he lost his eyesight, another 20,000. And now finally, Chirshoy, the full 50,000. Now don't do that. So that's the question. Just go and give one full 50,000 for the entire amount, because after all, now he's worthless. If he was worth 50,000 until now he's worth zero. So don't bother going through the steps and the stages. And rather you should go through each stage and say, for the yad, 5,000. For the regal, 10,000. For the eye.
What's gained by that?
Frank the Gemara, what's gained by that? What's an afkimina? In both cases, the maximum he can go and collect is 50,000. You can't go and say, let's go and add up the pieces, and the pieces are worth more than the whole. No, he's the maximum he's worth is 50,000. So what's an afkimina? Oh, the Gabi has X and he's took an afkimina. It's exactly the same. But what about the other four payments? The question is, do I have to go and pay the separate tsar and busha for each one? Each time I did another makah, I caused more pain and more busha. So do I have to go and do a separate umdana for each one? Or do I say, bottom line is, now he's a chayrish, I'm going to pay him the full 50,000 for the chayrisha, and I'll pay him now for the accumulated nezik, as opposed to looking at each individual painful situation. Such a need a nezek, but he bevishev to call chadu v'chadu. You don't have to go and pay separate nezek. because you're giving him the full amount. You don't have to give him separate sheves, because we said already, chirshoy, you don't have to pay sheves, because you already paid for this person his full potential employment for the rest of his life. You gave him the full $50,000, so he's not entitled to unemployment. The gab of the ripoy is a machloikis Rashi, and Toysis takes out the word ripoy, and he says it should belong in the second category. But Rashi does leave the word ripoy in. So the question is, the I don't go and pay him individually the nezek or the sheves, and possibly the ripoy. But even the koyoyev lay demei kulei kamani kotli dami, because since I'm going to pay him the demei chershoy that he went and he made him into a deaf person, it's as if he killed him for all potential economic and financial purposes. He can no longer work for the rest of his life. It's as if he made him chas v'shalom a quadriplegic. He is totally cannot do any further work. Today probably they could do some work with these modern technology, but under normal circumstances this chedush is now worthless. Therefore you don't have to go and pay the hezek, you don't have to pay the sheves, and the gemara assumes you don't have to pay the ripoy. And he gave him everything. Notice, come on, they called him Yovle Kule. But Tsaru Boishes Mias, the Cholchad Vachada Yoiv, the Havle Tsaru Boishes. After all, each time he did another act, he took off the arm, he took off the regal, Simas Einoi, each time there was new Tsar, each time there was new Busha, so maybe you have to go and pay this individually or Afshanish. Maybe you're going to go and tell me you're going to be poish at the previous shayla, and you're going to go and say, since the bezin didn't have an opportunity yet to go and be oimed, therefore you only pay one payment now, you don't pay for the individual tsar and boishes for each time. What happened to the bezin? Did have a separate umdana each time. However, this mazik, who was a lowlife, a shaygetz, a no goodnik, he didn't pay yet each individual time. Now we find the chaptim after the chirshoy. Mao, mi amrinan kim di amdu chode chode boy lemeisim lay. Since the first time by the ayin, or the first time was by the yad, second time by the regel, third time by the ayin, fourth time by the oizen, by the chirshoy, sin in fact, each time there was an umdana, now we're going to force him to go and pay for each individual tar, for each individual busha, and he's going to have to pay the whole kit and caboodle. Idilma kim le shalim, or since he didn't pay until now, you have laid me kule. Don't go and look at individual tar and boishes. Look at the situation today. Look and assess how much busha he has, how much tar he has now, and just pay that amount as opposed to the incremental installment. The more take, the more is not poishin the shah.
Hold on, how could that be? If there's an umtana, that means there was a maisa bezdin, and there was a psat din, and there was a verdict, and there was an enforceable judgment.
The more doesn't say that there was a judgment, it says umdu.
Who's doing the umdana?
It could be that they were in the middle of the process, and the mazik was so upset that the bezdin was assessing him further damages. He says, bezdin, to heaven with all of you guys, and he goes and takes off the other guy's leg. And then they say, oh, for the leg, you got to go and pay double. Ha ha! And he gives a smack, and he takes out his eye. So it's all happening. Doesn't say necessarily that it was psak din.
Because umdina means like there's an umdina, and there's a gemar din, and there's a verdict.
Normally, if it would be psak din, the more would say that. Me, I'm really going to have a hamadis bedin, have a gemar din, more just some do. It sounds like it was. Okay. Boy, Rabbi. So Rabbi asked the following interesting shaitz. Sheves apoisosei bedomim al. This word sheves is not the type of sheves that we're talking about until now. What the Gemara means to say is, what happens if he gave him a temporary wound, which is destined to heal, and therefore this is only a temporary injury. The person is going to be unemployed. He's going to have damage for a month, 2 months. The Gemara is going to give an example in a moment that his hand shriveled up. He cannot use his hand. But everybody knows, if you're going to go and put on the aloe, the wax, and the kalba, what was the kalba that we had in the Yom Aleph? That was the resin. Okay, or any other type of medical refuah. He's going to have a refuah, he'll be back to normal again. So do you go and pay for the temporary situation that we are now? So for instance, the gabe, the din of nezek, there could be a temporary nezek. In other words, you go to the marketplace, you want to sell the guy as a slave, and you show that his arm is temporarily paralyzed, and you tell him, but this, the doctor has doctor's orders, it's only going to be for 2 weeks, after that it's going to be back to normal. Obviously, it will affect the price in the marketplace. Until now it was worth 50,000, it's going to be paralyzed. And after all, the paralysis might continue, the doctor may be wrong, you never know, blah, blah, blah. Okay, we're not going to go down from 50 down to 20,000, 50 down to 48,000. We'll give a $2,000 break for this 2 weeks, and we'll see what happens. So there will be some small incremental damage. But of course, in 2 weeks from now, if the doctor's taka right and he's back to normal, he goes back to the marketplace, it's totally 50,000. So the question is, because of this temporary bump in his value, do you go and say, let's pay for that? Or, no, it's nothing. You don't pay for it. And that's the Gemara Shaila. Zokti Gemara Mahu, Nochamu, Boi Rabba, Sheves, Hapoichsosi, Bedom Emau. The reason why the Gemara calls it Sheves means because since this is not a permanent hezek, it's just the temporary unemployment disability for 2 weeks or a month or whatever. What's the din? Do you have to pay for that or not? Hey, Chidam, give me an example. You're going to call Yodai, but some say Yodai. He hit him on his hand, and the hand never shriveled up, it shrunk temporarily. But everybody knows you're going to put it in Epsom salt for the next month. You're going to put on the aloe and the other stuff. Guess what? He's going to have a refuah shalem. My, give me the sefer lachzer, we have a meeting. There's no reason why I should go to the slave market and ask them, blah, 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 blah. By the time they figure out going to the slave market, they'll be perhaps already be gesund again. Temporarily, there's certainly a $1,000, $2,000 diminution in value. Maybe you do have to pay. It's Toshima, let's try to be pushed. You have a real nice guy. He gives a makah to both of his parents. He's machmir. He wants to go with aladeus, both the father and the mother. However, he was careful not to make a chabur. And it says in the pasuk, maki of the imay mois yumas, but it has to be dafka hako shiyesh bo chabura. So if he gives them a terrible slap, which is terrible, chas v'sholem, but it's not a chabura, there's no open wound, there's not even a closed wound, no black and blue mark, but he gave him a maka, no din of misa. What happens if a person goes and gives a chabura to his chaver on Yom Kippur, Rachmana Litzlan? If you do it on Shabbos, there would be a chiyav misa. There would be a kamli b'derama minay. But here we're not talking about Shabbos, talking about Yom Kippurim. But Yom Kippur, there is no din of kamli raminay except according to Reb Nachunya ben Akona. But other than Reb Nachunya ben Akona, everybody agrees it wouldn't be a din of kamli raminay. So what does this person have to do? Chai b'kulin, he has to go and pay all the chamisha dvarim. If he gave a patch to his parents, if there was some sort of hezek, even though there is no chabura, and his busha, and his whatever it happens to be, you have to go and pay the chamisha dvar. So, how is it possible that he gave a patch to his parents and there was no chabura, and we're still talking about paying the nezik and the tzah and the rip and sheves? We're talking about a case like this, that it's not a permanent chabura, it's a temporary type of chabura situation, and about this, the Bryce is telling us that he doesn't get misa for that because in a week or two it'll be back to normal. Just the hand shriveled up, it'll soon be back to normal, and therefore you have to pay the chamisha dvarim. Uktani chay bekulan, so I can be poishit rabbi shayla that you have to go and pay. Amri says, no, Hachamai is kidding, you're going shechir shoy v'leyasa by chabura. It's talking about that Nebuch, he made his parents deaf, but there was no wound. I don't see any blood from inside, outside, yechzei gunish. And therefore, that's the case where he's potter from Misa, but he's chay bekulan. But this is a permanent thing, this is not a temporary thing. So therefore, you have no raya to the shala of Rabba. Says he, no, that's not possible. But Rabba himself said, if he causes Chas V'Shalom his father or his mother to become deaf, you give him Misa. Aye, there is no Chabura. There is a Chabura. Aye, you don't see the Chabura. If you can go and do an x-ray or a CAT scan or one of those fancy schmancy things, you would see that in fact there are drops of blood that have come out into the ear passage down below, inside, and therefore, there in fact was a chabura after all. So that's not the case then. Yeah, did you ever had a person chas v'shalom made his parents deaf and then you did a CAT scan or a radiology? No, Baruch Hashem. You should never have such a case. So the ma'isa, that's not an answer. So the chori, we're back to square one. We're talking about the case of tzamsa yodoy. The one halcha ma'iskin have another pshat. You're going shegilchoy. It's talking about that he went and made his parents, his father, his mother, he made them totally bald. And that type of totally bald, the Gemara assumes. Today, you have half of the people walk around totally bald, because half of the people today are crazy. Half of the people are voting either for Trump or for Hillary. So you see that half of the people are crazy. Yeah, everybody's voting for one or the other, right? Except for those people, the silent majority that are probably going to abstain. But anyway, but the point is, this was considered to be a chabura, or I shouldn't say a chabura, hakoh she'ein bo chabura. No blood came out as a result. It wasn't a wound. However, it's considered to be a hezek. Presumably, a person person without any hair, if you go and take him to the market, people look upon him, I'm not going to pay $50,000 for such a, it looks like a shtickle. Maybe he has a medical issue, maybe stomach sidrite, I don't know why he doesn't have any hair. I'm not going to pay 50, 20, pay 30, whatever it happens to be. So therefore, Zokti Gemara, this could be the pshat of Imlas and the Chabura. They went and he gave them the Azabul, the haircut, and that's why Chai Bekulin, that would be a tremendous bush. He has to pay for boishes, etc. Okay, Freit Gemara, that's not a good teretz, because Gilchai Meheder Hoder V'Hainu Bayan. Punkt verkehrt. If that's the case of Gilchai, then we can be poishin Rabbi Shaila. Rabbi asked the Makov. Rabbi asked, what happens if Shev is a poishin B'domim Mahu? A person does a temporary situation. Do you pay Chamisha Dvarim? Giluch, by definition, is a temporary situation. You wait a week or two or three or four or five, the hair will start growing back again and it'll look normal again. Soi Bazoi. So then, that's Mamishar Shaila. Do you have to pay in Shtei Tachadu on the price? Chai Bekulan. So you can be poishin. If you're going to tell me that the price is talking about a case of Giluch, we'll be able to be poishin the Shaila of Rabba. Everywhere Amino Nahoga Maiskin, we're talking about he did a Giluch, he going to Sochay Nasha, to Loy Hodar. We're talking about Nasha. Nasha means, in English, it's called a depilatory. Depilatory means such an acid that removes the hair forever and ever. It will never, ever return again. This is not a temporary situation. This is permanent. In such a case, you have to pay for the five. Now, what are the five? What's so terrible? Gemara goes and tells us in dramatic, it's very simple. The person has nebuch some cracks on his skull from before, and until now he had hair that covered it over, so when it was cold he had the protection of the hair, and now that you've taken off all of the hair, now it's painful. And Rashi says it's not only painful from the cold weather, but it's also from choizik hasam. This was such a strong acid that took off all the hair, it also made, perhaps it created, or at least it made more painful any cracks in his skull on his head. Reap with a bayasuya, because of this painful situation, he has to go to the doctor to go and medically help him out. Sheves tamamarki bekuvi the bayimachvi gavni areisha v'loy machvi. This is a little bit comical. Market Bekuvi means that this person's profession, until now he was a professional clown. They used to do clown acts. And one of the clown acts that he used to do was with his head. That he'd go and put his head up and forth, back and forth, in such a funny way. And now that it's totally bald, he's afraid to go and show his head in public because people will never...
Laugh at him, that's his job.
I don't know if they're going to laugh at him or they're going to cry. But it's not going to be as a result of clowning. He's going to be so embarrassed from the cracks in his skull that people are going to say, look at John the clown. He really looks like a clown now. Anyway, as a result, therefore, we cannot be poishet the shala of Rabba about this temporary pchas. So what's the din? Zhokti Yimara. What Rabba was asking, betray the shala by Abaya was poshet in one direction, Rabba in the other direction. Two more lines. The itmar, he ko al yod b'tzams of the seif alachso. Our case! That Nebuch, the hand, shrinked, shriveled up temporarily, but it's soon going to return to normal. Shevis Gdoyla means the Hezek, that's the big Shevis, the Meyodai. And the Shevis Ktana is the disability, the Shevis. For Rav Omer, any day that he's not able to go and work for the next week or two because his hand is shriveled up, you got to pay for the unemployment, the disability. But there's no permanent Hezek, so you're not responsible for Hezek. You're only responsible for Shevis. So Rava had a Shaila, he wasn't poishited. Abaya says you have to go and pay both Hezek, temporary Hezek, together with Shevis. And Rava says you only pay Shevis and nothing else. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Isai.